Thank you, Abby. Thank you, Brian, for praying this morning. Abby's song really, really hit the nail on the head. Did you read my sermon, Abby?
No.
No? That's what we're going to be talking about today. At this time, our children, ages 1st through 5th grade, may be dismissed for children's worship, and Miss Tracy is going to be leading you today. Yes. She's just as excited as they are. Did you see that quickness in her step? I hear there's a... We have a little bit of work to do around here today. They rented the green room out. The landlords rented the teen room out. So we've got a few things in there that needs to come out. And Bill and I and Brad were talking about coming up with this... plan today, right after church, about getting the trailer over here and getting about 4 or 5 guys to just load that thing in. And then I remembered there's this thing called a football game going on at noon. Is that right? At noon, Green Bay and the Bears are playing.
Plus the Ryder Cup.
The Ryder Cup. And I'm like, well, there goes our plans out the window. But maybe, see, we got to get this stuff out before tomorrow. So maybe, Bill?
Yeah. Did you kill me? Yeah, don't kill it. Okay. Yeah, what the plan is, Mr. Dan, I believe, is going to go get the trailer. And then, but it'll be later.
Okay.
Later. So we might have to tell everybody to kind of keep an eye on Facebook, or we can text something around, or unless Mr. Brian can do it.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
I think 6 is the number.
6 is the number.
Dan has given his blessings.
I feel like I'm at an auction here.
All right. All right. Yes. 6 is the
o'clock.
Number. If you want to help.
We need some strong biceps attached to strong torsos and foot bones connected to the leg bone. And all right. So, I'm not saying they have to be guys, because let's face it, there's some pretty strong women here. So, all right. But we could really use your help. We've got several things that need to come out of that room and need to go into the trailer. And so that would be fantastic. That way our landlord can have a clean room for tomorrow morning as the new tenants come into the green room. So, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16... I'd just like to read that as we, last week I made mention that Pastor Nathan over in DeKalb was preaching a message about the beautiful miracle of Jesus in touching a man who had leprosy, and we're going to reference that this morning as we get off and going today. Let me just read Luke chapter 5 verses 12 through 16. And we're continuing in our series, Jesus Verb. Meaning we're not only looking at Jesus' words today, we're looking at the action behind the action word. And today we're looking at Jesus withdrew. Nathan's using the word retreat. Jesus retreated this morning. That's a good word too. So, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, it says, "While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, don't miss the part that says he fell with his face to the ground. And he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Have you ever been desperate before God? Ever been broken? We were up here this morning, and I was thinking as we're singing these songs, you know, these themes and these songs may or may not be ringing a bell for you today, but there will be a time in all of our lives when just to know the truths that we sang, "You are God alone," in the face of the death of a loved one that we've just sent on home, or in the face of incredible loss, you are God alone. In the face of a diagnosis from a doctor, and you turn and you just proclaim, you are God alone. The themes that we sung about today, you know, when life gets to going and it seems to be running about a C, you know, it's not a B or an A, but it's not a D or an F. You're running about a C. Sometimes we can come to worship and just kind of coast, can't we? And these themes that we talk about, leaning on the everlasting arms. It's a good song, great melody. I remember singing that as a kid, but it's really not connecting. There will come a time in all of our lives, and probably already has, and probably will again, when these themes will be our lifeline. So this man certainly would understand the importance of the themes that we've sung this morning. You are God alone. As he fell on his face in the dust before God, you are God alone. He had leprosy. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's faith. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He said, I am willing. And he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't go tell anyone, but go show yourselves to the priests and offer your sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them, to the priests. Yet the news about him spread all over the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And then we're going to focus in for a little bit today on the last verse. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Luke records an instance where Jesus touched a man with leprosy. And that's not, we can easily read over that and miss the main point. Leprosy back then, as it is today, true leprosy, which they used leprosy for a variety of skin diseases back then. But true leprosy, the debilitating kind, not just the aggravating kind back then, meant being ostracized by your community. It meant that the perception was that what's going on in that man's body, having lost fingers and toes and the end of his nose and the tops of his ears, what he's got, I could get if I get close to him. And so there was a safety concern, just like the Ebola infection that has occurred in Africa and is spreading around the world. There's real concern. If I get close, I'll get that. And so it's not by accident that Luke records that Jesus reached out and he touched him. You see, this was considered to be self-defiling for a respectable rabbi, an up-and-coming rabbi, to do that. He wouldn't do that. There was a very clear set of laws for the Jewish people, including the rabbis who were to be leaders in obedience to the law. You don't touch what is unclean, for you will be defiled. It would be disrespectful to the law of Moses and to the law, the Lord of the law. Yet Jesus did so, not because he was a rebel, but rather because Jewish law needed hands and fingers in order to heal this man's two diseases. The first disease was his leprosy. The second disease was the disease of not being wanted. He was cast aside by community. Immediately afterward, then, the Bible records that Jesus withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. And I must admit, the story ends in a surprising way, doesn't it? Jesus heals, sends this man to the priest with instructions to offer the sacrifice required by the law for cleansing as a testimony to them. Like a surgeon, Jesus cuts to the real heart of the matter. Jesus at first seemingly defies the law by touching the man, and then fulfills the law and respects the law by sending this man to the priest to be cleansed as a testimony to them. Perhaps one reason that the story then abruptly ends, that Jesus, after this event, drew away and he went to a quiet place, a lonely place, a wilderness place, and prayed. Don't you wonder why the story ends like that? Why did Luke record that? What is that? And I wonder if the reason would be that perspective and power for Jesus to do what he did came through prayer. Jesus made a life-changing connection with this man by fulfilling the law, not just in words, but in action, to love your neighbor as yourself. So, we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning recognizing the times that Jesus withdrew and went to lonely places to pray. What is that? And if he does it, what is there for us to follow in his steps as we seek to emulate his life? I'd like to recognize three authors, Robert Donato and Ray Navarro, and our own Nathan Rodehaber, who always creates these beautiful promo pics that we use in our promotion of the sermon series. When is the last time you really got away and drew away from the noise, and you can remember sitting and the silence was something you hadn't heard for a while? Isn't it jarring to our normal routines to do that? It takes intention, doesn't it? The quietness of the soul. We can very easily be carried along in life in a reaction mode as the demands of work and the demands of being a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a breadwinner carry you along. You're the bill payer. You're the one that's got to make ends meet. You're the one that's got to put it out there and put it on the table. So from the time your eyes open in the morning, you put your feet on the ground, and that's your role. Before you know it, you can live days, weeks, months, or even years without ever drawing away and hearing the voice of God. Really listening in prayer for what he wants to bring into your life. You see, our world is noisy, isn't it? One of the things that I love to do when I kind of lose perspective is I love to go outside in the middle of the night and look up on a starry night, and I get perspective because I realize that my problems are really not that big a deal in comparison to the grandness of God's creation. Amen? It helps me put things in order in my mind. I remember taking a family vacation with my folks, and I remember we got way back in this cave, and the tour guide leader turned the lights off. And he said, "Some of you have never experienced total darkness, but that's what this is." And I thought, "No, my eyes will adjust." And we waited. And I waited for what I thought was a long time for my eyes to adjust so that I could begin to see silhouettes, and it didn't happen. Total darkness. It reminds us of the lengths that we need to go to sometimes to drown out or to turn down or remove ourselves from the noise that's going on in our life. Why? Well, we find that Jesus did that. In these times, the still small voice of God is heard. You ever wonder why God whispers instead of yells? Why doesn't, you know, life just continue on and then he just yells out and gives me his will? And he yells over the noise, over the crowd, and I get it. I catch it. I catch the Hail Mary pass. Thank you, God. You've delivered me again. Till next time. I'll be out here running around like a crazy guy waiting for you to tell me the next move. But that's not God. God instead asks us to draw away to hear him. He asks us to be intentional about turning off the noise. There's a beauty about solitude. There's a beautiful thing. I don't think our culture appreciates it like they used to. You know, the spiritual disciplines of meditation and prayer. We have to ask ourselves, would I ever turn the noise down enough to hear him? Quite frankly, there's a little bit of fear there for me. Maybe you experience that. If I draw away from my routine, number one, some plates are going to fall. And number two, what's God going to say if I really give my ears to him? If I really open my heart to him, my life may never be the same. And so, tactfully, we say, thank you. But, God, you don't want me to, I mean, the stuff's going to fall if I got to go back there and keep the plates spinning. And it could be that the plates coming down is exactly one of the things that needs to happen in our life as we draw away. We may find that keeping those plates spinning is really not as fulfilling as spending time with the one who is teaching us real truth. So today, isn't there a strange appeal to quietness? Maybe even a little fear. Let's be real. If I'm quiet, I'll have to think some thoughts that I've not really enjoyed thinking. If I get in the car and don't turn on the radio, these thoughts about my past, about what I'm dealing with, about the problems that I'm facing will kind of come in and I'll have to deal with them. And so we turn the music up. But this morning's invitation is to turn the music down. Turn the noise down and to listen to the voice of God. So Pastor Nathan created this slide. I don't know if you, at first I was like, what is that? It's one note on a music scale, isn't it? No, it's a blackbird on a highline wire all by himself. Have you ever been around blackbirds? They are noisy, squawky, terrible things. And when they get together, they're so noisy and so obnoxious. But here's one. He said, I've had enough of that. I'm going to go find me a nice highline wire. And I am going to take the whole thing from pole to pole. And I don't care how far I have to go. I'm going to find me a highline wire where I can be by myself. Well, I don't know if that's what he was thinking when he created that slide, but that's what I think. Through Jesus Christ, God offers to us understanding and intimacy. Everywhere Jesus went, people came to him with their needs. His reputation spread as he met those needs right where people were. That's why he came. That's what he was about. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what Jesus was called to do. As Jesus did these things, people were changed. Hope was restored. People's minds were renewed. And the Spirit moved. It was an amazing time because of the power of Jesus Christ. It was unleashed in people's lives. In Him, heaven met people. As people encounter the living God, then as even today, they sense the power of Jesus' presence and find that Jesus is real and can be trusted. So, our little story today, our story of Jesus touching the leper, sets the context for what we're talking about today. He did something risky. There's cave dwellers, and then there's those who love to be out with people. It's just a matter of some of us are, we get our energy back from being in our cave, and some of us, we get our energy back from being around people. But that's not really what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about drawing away in order to hear and be with God. And sometimes that happens by yourself, just you and God, and sometimes that happens within a community. So, Jesus withdrew to lonely places to pray. Why? Number one, nearness to God requires acknowledgement and obedience to His will. It's interesting, isn't it? It's kind of a paradox. We're talking about being alone, and yet here's this man with leprosy who was crazy alone, and he hated it. Here's a man who was isolated from his community. And the minute that he saw Jesus, he got on his face before Jesus and said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." What was his heart crying for? Obviously, his heart was crying for healing. But part of that healing was to be restored to community. He'd been isolated. He'd been ostracized. He had been outside. Can you imagine what it felt like for a person who had not experienced the touch of another individual for years? For Jesus to break through the barriers and touch this man. That touch meant the world to that guy. It not only meant that he was going to be healed by Jesus physically, but it meant that because that barrier is now broken down and he is healed, and now he is healed to the point where he can go and present an offering at the temple and be restored back into community and fellowship. Two healings took place that day. Sometimes we need to withdraw so that we can participate in community. And sometimes community scares us because we are discovered the more time we spend with other people, the more of the mask comes off. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we limit how much time we're going to spend in a group, for instance, and Celebrate Recovery is wonderful for this because at first it may feel mechanical to share kind of what you're going through in life, and then before long you begin to understand that the people in the room with you, there's bonds of trust happening, and you begin to share transparently, and it's a strange, comfortable uncomfortableness. Because you're like, the things that I haven't wanted to tell people, I have this strange need to tell. But if I tell them, they may reject me. But as I tell them, they accept me. Oh, this is what it's about. As we reveal ourselves voluntarily to God, He knows who we are, but sometimes we keep the closets closed up pretty tight, don't we? There's a sense where when we allow God in, yes, we're fearful about what He'll see in there, but we're also relieved as we discover that it didn't create a rejection moment. It created a moment of acceptance and grace and love. I think it's beautiful that Jesus could have, you know, really made some hay out of this. And the disciples were like, man, we're following the right guy. This is pretty awesome. This guy who was covered with leprosy, everybody knew it. Doctors turned the other way. Mothers with babies covered the baby's eyes. Mothers with children quickly grabbed the hands and walked the other way. It was a pretty big deal for Jesus to heal this man. But instead of promoting himself as a wonder worker, he promoted respect for God's laws. He may seem like a rebel, but he was respecting God's laws when he said, go show yourselves to the priests and make an offering as a testimony to them. There's a closeness to God through prayer that we can gain as well, number two. In the midst of many needs, Luke paints the picture. In the midst of many needs, people needing Jesus, legitimate needs, he draws away and he prays. I'd like to just go through some other scriptures where we find Jesus withdrawing. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, one of those days Jesus went to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Mark 6, 46, after leaving them, he went up a mountainside to pray. Luke 3:21 says, at the time of his baptism, while he was praying, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. How intriguing to think that the one who we perceive needed prayer the least participated in prayer the most. And if he prayed, what should I receive from that? I think, for me, John, you need to pray. And my definition, quite honestly, has really revolutionized over the course of 20 years. I woke up this morning, for instance, praying. I wasn't on my knees. I didn't have a list of things I was praying about. I just woke up saying Jesus. And I love Sundays. Jesus, thank you. I love this. Jesus, Jesus. That's more what my prayers look like now. It's being with Him and enjoying His presence and hearing His voice. Many people look at Jesus and say, oh, look how he healed. Others look at him and say, man, what a great teacher. What an awesome leader. But doesn't Scripture teach us about prayer? What a man of prayer. Yes. Prayer was a priority for him. It was important that he taught his disciples how to pray too. So why would it be so important to Jesus? John 6:38 says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You see, Jesus wanted to listen to the Father. And it's that listening to God that helps us get it right, helps us live in a way that honors God. He wanted to listen to the Father. You see, this relationship that he had with God was the glue that held all of his other relationships together in his life. And that's the same for us, too. Otherwise, the people in our lives are just crazy people. Aggravating, irritating people with issues. Oh, I love them, but I'm aggravated. But you see, the relationship that we have with our Father, when we pray, we see people not through our eyes anymore. We see them through God's eyes. And like Scott said last week, those personality quirks that we have, God says, I just threw them in. I love that. So how important is prayer in our own lives? Closeness to God makes us strong. He taught his disciples to pray and not give up. Remember at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you guys get on your knees and you pray. And then what did they do? They fell asleep. Have you ever been? I've been that guy so many times in my life. Really, it usually goes right after a sermon on prayer. And I'm like, okay, I'm really going to get this right now, and I'll go home this afternoon, and I'll intensify my prayer life, and I'll fall asleep in the recliner while the Bears are scoring that one touchdown that they might get. All right. Coming in for a landing here. It's no picnic out there. We do need to keep in touch with God. Amen. We all know. Let me urge you from the Bible today, from the life of Jesus, to cultivate a precious relationship with God. Don't neglect it. Make it special. Your life needs it. My life needs it. Your family needs it. Your church needs it. Let the littleness of your life get lost in his greatness. Amen. Pray to him. Worship him. Draw away until you hear only God. Become like a child in his presence. This morning, I woke up and I heard a clock that I don't normally hear. And Jeanette had wound a clock that's in our family room that she never winds. It belonged to great grandma. And it had the beautiful tick-tock. And I was like, why didn't I hear that when I was going to bed? I love a clock. So peaceful. And then I remembered I didn't hear it because I was watching videos on YouTube. There's a clock in my folks' kitchen that I don't ever remember it not being around. And it's almost totally wore out. It's a regulator, it's oak, it's beautiful, old school type clock, big brass pendulum. I can hear it in my mind right now. And you know, most of the time when I walk into the house, even after being gone for months at a time, sometimes we just don't get out to my folks' house very often. I can walk in and I don't even hear that clock because it's right where it's supposed to be. It's part of the experience of going back home. But then once in a while, I'll take a look at that clock and I'll be like, I hear it, but I see it, but I don't hear it. What do I have to do? I have to totally tune in before I can literally hear the ticking of that clock, because it's so much a part of what it is, the experience of being at my folks' home. Remembering that God is always speaking to us through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, He's always there. Amen? Always sharing of Himself. But sometimes I need to tune in, amen, to what He is seeking to communicate. And quite frankly, sometimes I just take Him for granted. The clock's always going to tick. I don't have to hear the tick today. For my life to keep on going, for my heart to keep on beating. But with the Holy Spirit, when I do stop and I hear Him, there's a flood of grace that comes into my life. Just opening the Word, all of a sudden there is an infilling that occurs. And I just want to encourage us all this morning to listen, to draw away and hear the Holy Spirit's message of love and grace. Or, would you get going? We've been at this point for years. I got stuff for you to do. In love, of course. Well, we have example after example of Jesus spending extended times in prayer. If Jesus had to do that, how much more so do we? Amen? Amen. Well, the offering basket is back there. Again, this morning we didn't pass that. And if you would like to contribute to the Ministry of Living Well, you're certainly welcome to do so. But it's also a place to make an expression of appreciation and thankfulness to God for His goodness to us. And I don't want to take anything away from the offering by not having the ushers pass the basket, but I also think it doesn't hurt for us to kind of mix it up a little bit and make a special effort back to make an expression of love to God. So it's back there, and I'm going to ask, you know, Pam and Dee count every Sunday, and so if you haven't and would like to put something in the basket today, you're more than welcome to do so. But know that it's not required, but also that they're going to count that shortly after the service is over. So otherwise it'll go in next week's deposit. So I want to thank you for participating in Connect on Wednesday nights. I have been absolutely amazed at what's going on. We have almost as many people at Connect as we do on Sunday mornings, with more people that don't come on Sunday mornings. And I'm just blown away by that. I want to thank you for your participation, involvement, and your leadership in regards to your commitment to carve that out of your schedule. And I'm loving Celebrate Recovery. I was sharing this morning that for me, Celebrate Recovery has been like that sign alongside the road, reminding me that there's a service or a product available to me. And I know it's there. I know I can get it at any time. But when I see that sign, I avail myself of it. And that's what Celebrate Recovery has been for me. You know what? I continue to work on some compulsive behaviors that I have, and some other stuff. And I'm not sure I'll ever outgrow Celebrate Recovery. I'm really glad to be a part of the big group time that we have, and the band, the CR band, it's been awesome. And I just want to invite you, if you have interest in serving in Connect, it's bigger than just Celebrate Recovery. It's about a total ministry to the entire family. Bill leads a spiritual formation group called Upward Call. If Celebrate Recovery doesn't appeal to you, but you'd like to be a part of a spiritual formation group, his group is there. He's doing a wonderful job. And we have ministries for children, youth, and adults, all happening on Wednesday nights. And I just, I know it doesn't work for everybody. Schedule, as hard as we try to make it work for everybody, it just doesn't. And I understand that. Work schedules, sometimes you just can't. So, and other things. But I really appreciate. I just want to express some gratitude, and I appreciate your participation. And I really believe we're getting some traction there. Amen? It's exciting to see what God is doing. And why don't we stand this morning as we conclude? And I need your help to sing this last song. I'm just going to ask the band to stay where you're at, and I'm going to try to do it solo up here. But that means, band, you've got to sing from where you're at, okay? And let us pray. Let's sing it together. I hear you say your heart is aching. You've got trouble in the making. If you ask if I'll be praying for you, please. And in keeping with convention, I say here's for good intention to pray lately, making mention of your needs. Since we have this moment here at heaven's door, we should start knocking now, so what are we waiting for? Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day. It is the right time for the Father above. He is listening with love, and he wants to answer us, so let us pray. Here we go. So when you feel the Spirit moving, prompting, prodding, and behooving, there's no time to be losing, let us pray. Let the Father hear us saying what we need to be conveying. Even while this song is playing, let us pray. And just because we say the word amen, it doesn't mean this conversation needs to end. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. Let us pray without end. When we finish, start again, like breathing out and breathing in. Oh, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. For the Father above, he is listening with love, and he wants to answer us, so let us pray. One more time. So let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. For the Father above, he is listening with love, and he wants to answer us, so let us pray. Yeah, have a great week. Remember to pray.